Good morning slash afternoon. On behalf of the Murphy family, thank you for attending the memorial service of my mother. We Murphys may be disorganized, disjointed, but we are on time. So, at least until PJ starts preaching. Joking, PJ, sorry. I just want to start off first by some thanks. The first people we'd like to thank is White Emerson Mortuary. Phil White owns White Emerson Mortuary, and I've known him since he was like 10 or 12. He's a great friend. He served us very well with both my dad and my mom's funeral. I saw him out there today, and I said, hey, Phil, you know, like, when was the last time you actually did a memorial service, because you own the business? And he's like, it's been quite a while. I had to ask my employees, you know, to make sure I knew how to run this stuff. So he did that. He did not have to do it. He did it personally because he loves us. He loves the Mercy. So we'd like to thank Phil and White Emerson. And then we'd like to thank Calvary. This is the second time they've opened their church for us. We're really grateful to Pastor Plug and the team here at Calvary. They do this because they love us and they love ministry, and we're really grateful that they do. And then finally, I want to thank, we have a luncheon afterwards. I want to thank again Calvary and the people that are volunteering and saying, this is our ministry and we're doing it for free because we love you guys. And as you go over there, remember to thank the people that are serving in that way. We are honoring Mom's life by taking an extended look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 this morning at the graveside my son John did, a.k.a. Badger. Some of you guys, probably most of you know him as Badger. Did rejoice always, and now we're going to do pray without ceasing, and then in everything give thanks, because we believe that's a perfect encapsulation of my mom's life. And if you knew her, you know that is true. My best memory of Mom praying, other than the time when Dan left for San Diego, when Mom and Dad were away and left him a note saying, I moved to San Diego with my good buddy George Bradley, which threw my mom into some serious committed prayer. And ironically, out of that came Carlene, Dan's wife. So, but my best memory of my mom, my wife Sherry, was alone with her in the past 6 months. I was at work, and she snapped a picture of my mom sitting in her favorite chair with her USC blanket over her and just praying. And anybody who visited her know that is what she did. And she was praying for, if you're a Murphy or connected to a Murphy, she was praying for you day after day after day. And that's my mom's life. We're so grateful for it. At this time, we're going to have Maddie Davis come up, read a passage of scripture, and then her father, PJ, Reverend PJ Davis, is going to preach for us.
I'm reading from Revelation 2, 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Well, dear family and friends, once I fix that, it's really good to see you from this vantage point. And thank you for the opportunity to say some things that need saying as we do what Badger was reminding us about this morning around the grave. Celebrate and mourn at the same time. And that only makes sense because Jesus died and rose from the dead. For those that I don't know, my name is PJ Davis. I am Lynn's son, who's here, and Phil's son, who is present with the Lord, even as Grandma is right now. Cecil Ruth Murphy was and is my grandmother, emphasis on grand. I will never know a woman more grand or grander, however you're supposed to say that correctly in English, grander than she. I know many women who are as grand. I know many who I trust will be as grand. I will never know one more grand than Grandma Murphy. And I trust in the next 10 minutes or so, you'll understand why I say that. Now, since Uncle John raised it, a word about my time. Uncle Buck said I have 10 minutes. 2.5 years ago or so at my dad's service, I was the guy that was giving the other speakers that kind of time hack. And most of them were my brothers, and pretty much to a man, they all told me to go pound sand. I'm not man enough to tell Uncle Buck to go pound sand, so I will endeavor to stay within that 10-minute time limit, which starts right now. It is my responsibility and my privilege to point us toward Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Permit me to make a statement about Grandma Murphy. I'm going to make a statement based on these words, and then I want to show us from God's word that it's true, and then based on what Paul says, call us to something. And my purpose in all of this is not to point primarily or ultimately to Grandma, but rather to Grandma's lovely Lord, as she called him. So here's my statement. Cecil Ruth Murphy was a woman of unceasing prayer. And because she was such a woman, death did not have and does not now have and will not have any power over her. Because she was a woman of unceasing prayer, death was not finally Grandma's enemy, it was her servant. Now, how's that possible? How can that possibly be true? Let's take the Apostle Paul at his word this morning quite literally. Now, when Paul says pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians, it's in a context, but we'll be biblical literists this morning, and we'll just take Paul brutally at his word. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. What's prayer? Without taking the time to unpack it biblically, prayer is relational communication with God the Father in the name of God the Son by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not just mere spiritual thoughts. Prayer is not manipulating God. Prayer is not endless repetition of the right sounding words. Prayer is communication with God. It's a thing of relationship with the living God. So if you don't know God, then you don't know prayer. Grandma was a woman of unceasing prayer, literally. How? She raised 10 kids. She raised Uncle Dan. Let that one hang for a second. She raised Uncle John and Uncle Mike and Uncle Tim and Uncle Buck and Uncle Dave. And I might have missed one in there somewhere. Uncle Pat. That's because he's the nice guy, right? Uncle Pat. That's just the boys. That's not to mention Mary and Lynn and Corrine. So how could Grandma possibly have been someone who prayed nonstop throughout her day? She needed sleep, and probably she needed a lot more than she ever had time for. The answer to this question, I think it lies in something that Paul says in another one of his letters. In Romans 8, we find Paul rejoicing that through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, God is for us. Us meaning those who belong to him. Of Christians, Paul says this in verse 32 of Romans 8. He, God the Father, who did not spare his own son, that means Jesus, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now, this Jesus that Paul is talking about, he goes on in verse 34, and he says that this Jesus is doing something, and he's doing something constantly, continuously. What is it? He's at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. He's praying for us. And he's not praying for us just once, not even just twice. Dare I say, Jesus is praying for us without ceasing. Okay, now hold that picture of Jesus in your mind and listen to these words of Paul from Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So Christ, the same Christ, lives in Paul that is also standing at the Father's right hand or sitting at the Father's right hand and continually praying for those who trust him for their salvation. Now here's the point that I'm driving at. The way that you pray without ceasing is by being joined to Jesus Christ through faith. You become a person of unceasing prayer when God, by his grace, through the gift of faith, which is your life-transforming belief in Jesus Christ, when that happens and God joins you to his Son, you become someone who, with the divine Son of God, prays without ceasing because he's standing before his Father interceding for you. Now, if you are joined to Christ who died, and Christ who prays, then you are also joined to Christ who rose from the dead. For that kind of person, death is no longer the final enemy. Death becomes a servant because it's the vehicle whereby we step into the presence of our Savior, with sin no longer in the picture. Grandma was a woman of unceasing prayer because she was a Christian. By God's grace, she was united to her lovely Lord who died for her, who rose for her, and who prayed her all the way home, through death and beyond death. Badger asked a question this morning that's really good, and I'll just ask it again in a different way. Are you a person of unceasing prayer? Are you united to Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? There's one more move that I need to make in my 10 minutes before I finish it. Right before I came up here, Maddie read from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And as I've mulled over this question of prayer in recent weeks, these words of Christ from Revelation have come to mind, and I won't try to make clear the connection, but know that prayer is a thing of love. Jesus prays for his people in love, And anyone who's truly praying to God the Father in the name of God the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit is praying because that person loves God. So perhaps it's appropriate as we think about Paul's words, pray without ceasing, we would also contemplate Jesus' words to believers in Ephesus. I have this against you, Jesus says. You have abandoned the love you had at first. You have left your first love. Dear family, could those words of Christ be said to or about any of us? And maybe here I'll particularly address my generation of the Murphy family, so my cousins. And if you feel like your toes get stepped on a little bit here, it's because I love you. I fear that for some of us, the Jesus that we met through grandma and through our parents, grandma's lovely Lord, as she always said, the one who's praying for his people, the one who walks among the 7 gold lampstands, I fear that for some of us, that Jesus is now foreign to us. Maybe he's like a distant childhood memory. Or maybe he's like a pebble in your shoe that you can't quite get out. Maybe he's like a good buddy whose presence you just sort of assume on without actually recognizing. Can it be said that we are people who are joined to Christ, people who pray without ceasing, people who, for whom death is no longer an enemy? Can that be said of us if in reality our lives are prayerless and Jesus means little? And there's not much about us that would suggest he's living in us in the way he did for the Apostle Paul. Now, if you find that kind of question at all pricking your mind or your heart, then listen again to the words that Jesus continues to say in Revelation 2. Jesus says, "Remember from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first." What works? Well, how about falling on your knees in prayer to the crucified Jesus, who is now the risen, reigning Son of God that grandma's face to face with, who always prays for his people before the throne of his Father? And look, if that's what you do out of grandma's service, what are you going to pray in that moment? What kind of words should come out of you? Maybe words like this, spoken by a dirty fraud whom God made clean. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or maybe these from a desperate father. Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. You can pray the words of King David in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Dear family and friends, people who pray like that, people who are prayed for like that by the Son of God himself, are people over whom death has no power. And to them remains only the joy that Badger reminded us of this morning, and only the thanks that Uncle Pat's going to put before us in a few minutes. To them remains the joy and the thanks forever. Amen.
Thanks, PG. I know the only thing in this service my mom would have really cared about would be that we preached the good news of faith in Christ. And on behalf of Mom, PG, she would say, thank you for doing just that. Nathan Murphy, who is Pat, my oldest brother's son, and his daughter Peppy are going to lead us in the hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee, one of my mom's favorites.
And if you're able to, let's stand together and sing this one together. Thank you. Seated.
My father sometime wrote a poem to his wife that we discovered among his things, and Luke Murphy, who is Abigail's son and Tom's grandson, is going to come read it for us at this time.
Do I start right here? I wish I were a butterfly upon an angel wing. I travel through the universe where myriad seraphim sing. I gaze upon each shining star and listen as it cries. The greatest beauty in God's wide world shines full from your blue eyes. I tell each passing heavenly host that comes within my sight of all the love your presence brought to 345 North Bright.
My Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me.
to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. In all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see.
Jacobson, who is my oldest brother Pat's daughter, is going to come up and read a passage, and then my brother Pat's going to preach. But before that happens, I do want to set the record straight. You all know Pat as Saintly Pat, right? You know, the missionary. He's so kind. He's so friendly. When I was probably 4 years old, impressionable, I look up to him, I love the guy. he has to go into the shock clinic on Mar Vista to get a shot, and I'm there sitting in the car with my mom, and he disappears for about 10 minutes, and he comes out, and he's screaming in pain. Oh, oh, you know, I'm like, what happened? Oh, the shot, it was so painful. And I'm not making this up. Ever since that day, I've been afraid of shots. So thank you so much for that saintly pat. And
from Philippians 1:3-7, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, and for you are all partakers in with me of grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
I'm always a little nervous when my brother John starts on his stories. That one was bad enough, but I thought he was going to come up with the one where my dad and I got stopped by the police in Michigan because we had driven off without paying for the tank of gas. So, you know, I came out pretty good on that story. I have the privilege, and this is a wonderful privilege of speaking this last section. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I think all my siblings would gather with me in saying, if there's one compelling memory that we have of Mom, especially as she approached the end of her life, it was that ongoing thankfulness. It was so striking, especially as the end of life came close. She was thankful to us. I'd call her several times a week, and as time went along, her memory began to fade. I'd ask her about her Bible reading. She couldn't really remember what she'd read in the morning, so I didn't keep asking her about that. Ask her about my sibs, and she couldn't quite remember what was happening with them. But we would have this kind of narrow conversation that eventually became almost the same conversation every day. But she would end the conversation sometimes with saying, "Thank you for calling me. You're a good kid." Pastor Plug told me when he visited in the hospital just a day before Mom went to be with the Lord, that my sister Mary was arranging her bed and arranging for Mom, and one of the last verbal commitments or the last verbal expressions of my mom during her earthly pilgrimage was to Mary saying, "Thank you." But it wasn't just us, and the verse doesn't talk primarily about us. It talks primarily about thanksgiving to the Lord himself. And one of the compelling characteristics of Mom was her ongoing thankfulness to the Lord himself. Now, that was true all through her life, but in some ways it was particularly striking during the latter days of her life. Because as her life moved towards an end, and you saw it in the video, there were some things that were hard in Mom's life. You saw the picture of Mom sitting at the head of Dad's casket about 6 or 7 years ago, saying goodbye. The last years of her life were a time of loss. She never complained. As she aged, her knees got really bad. She would walk stiffly, never complain. The closest she would get to expressing her pain is, apparently, my knees are complaining. So here are those kinds of things that I look at. You know, these are good reasons to grumble, loss and pain. For Mom, there was this ongoing thanksgiving. And the verse says, in everything, give thanks. Now, Mom lived a long life. One of our kin figured out that she was 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day from being 100 when she went to be with the Lord. She lived a long life. There were some good days in that long life and some days where it was probably fairly easy to be thankful. There were some really hard days. Imagine this. My sister Mary recounted it for us. When I was about a sophomore maybe in high school, we had a fire on our house that burned through the top story of the house. Now, we were maybe 9 kids at the time. And all of a sudden, we're homeless. You know, the house, the top story's burnt off. Can't really live in the house like we were. So Mary and Mom were standing across the street the next day. And Mary, of course, concerned about what was going to happen. And Mom's expression was, the Lord tells us to be thankful. We should give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, thanksgiving by its very nature is an expression of our dependence. There's someone outside of ourself, someone other than me who is giving some kind of benefit to my life. And it was Mom's compelling sense of the reality of the work of God through Christ in her own life that allowed her to live good and bad when things were smooth and when they weren't, with this ongoing thanks. In everything, give thanks. And then the verse ends up like this, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And the secret is tucked right away in that verse. How is it possible in the good, but especially the bad? How is it possible when some of her kids for a time period would go kind of off on a false route? How is it possible as life unfolded with all the highs and lows, how is it possible to give thanks? Well, it wasn't just a stoic determination, I'm going to be thankful. It was the living out of her relationship in Christ. She was in Christ. Because she was in Christ, there was the power to do what could not be done otherwise, to give thanks in everything. Mom used to write us these little emails. She'd send out the emails and words of encouragement to us. Especially as she got older, she couldn't hear very well. But she would spend, like, as my brother Dan pointed out, like 12 hours a day active. Part of it is just working away on her email, on her iPad. And she would send out these little encouragements to us on her iPad. It came relatively often. I got one on January the 20th of this year. It was a Friday. We all got one of them on January the 20th. It was a Friday. Now, because of the way my family communicates, I didn't know that on Thursday, Mom had fallen and broken her leg and was now in Presbyterian Hospital. In fact, I probably talked to her earlier in the day Thursday, and she, you know, we had a good conversation. So I didn't know that Mom was in the hospital with a broken leg when I got this email from her. For me, it just came like any other encouraging email. It's up there, and it's probably a good thing it's up there. I practiced this, but I don't think I'm going to make it. In fact, I probably won't even make it to the beginning. Dave, are you on standby? Come up here. Because I should have been in the military.
Thinking the same, how gracious God has been to me. First thing is his gracious gifts in all of you, and especially your dad. Soon I'll be standing in his presence, wonderful, then reconnecting with my half already there. Wonder why I'm so slow to share that glorious news. But praise him, you are safe in his arms. Love, Mom.
Thanks. Rejoice always. In everything, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Thanks, brother. Crystal Murphy is going to lead us in the hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Would you all please stand and worship the Lord with me?
Thank you.
can be seated. I just want to, before I go on, really clarify. Pat is pretty good at glossing over things pretty quickly. And I don't know if you noticed, but what he said there is Reverend Pat Murphy, gas thief. Okay, did you catch that? And here's how that went down. So he's in my town, little town in Michigan. Everybody knows me. Pulls into the gas station. Dad's in the driver, or the passenger, and Pat's in the driver's side. Gets out, pumps the gas, gets back in the car, and drives off. And the clerk's watching him, you know, like. So he calls the cops. Yeah, a couple of old dudes just gassed up and drove off. So his life of crime lasted for precisely two blocks. Got pulled over, and the Reverend Pat Murphy. Gotta love the guy. Let me finish with this passage from Scripture that we think illustrates Mom's life quite well, which we read a couple of verses from already. It's from Philippians 1:6, following. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That was my mom's prayer for her kids, for her grandkids, and for her great-grandkids, and for their spouses. I'm going to close with a final blessing, which will be a blessing and also a prayer for the meal. Next door in the fellowship hall, the church is graciously serving a meal. So when you get over there, it's okay to go through the line and start eating, because we prayed for it here. I think the family's going to stay here and take some pictures, but feel free to go ahead and go over and start eating. And don't forget to thank the people that volunteered to minister to us in this way. Prayer of benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. And we pray that for all of you. In Jesus' name, amen.